Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to God's Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. My name is Apostle David Calder. I'm your host, and Holy Spirit is our overseer. We are your Bible-believing ministry that's reaching, teaching, and preaching and reaching the lost souls of the sin-sick world. We are here Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Saturdays from 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time until 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and Sundays, if the Lord say the same, from 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We just love to serve the Lord's people. We serve God by serving His people, and we are excited, we are delighted. This morning we are going to be ministering on where will your final destination be, heaven or hell. We sent out a response message to Prophetess Kershey, when she's ready. She says she got a phone, so I tell her when I'm ready, let me know. But she never responds, so the word got to go forth. We got to go on, and we got to declare the word of God. We cannot be stagnant at any time. We got to come on in, even if we don't feel great in our body. We still got to come and bring the word, because it's about the word. People are waiting to hear the word all over the world. So we are excited. We're going to go into worship. As we pray and praise this morning, we are going to pray again before we come to deliver this message and hear what thus says the Lord, because He makes the difference. We have to listen to Him as He leads us and guides us into all truth. Glory to God. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing, and we are glad. Let's see if we put up one sound here, and then we'll go.
Oh,
Yeshua, Yeshua, as long as don't think without you. I know you've been here all day, but I just wanted to soak in that atmosphere, that presence. You can just let your voice bless you wherever you are. Come on, let your voice. I'm a seer.
you have something. Thank you.
He won the victory for us. Yes. We are victorious. Because of what he has done at Calvary, we are victorious. We are healed because of what he has done at Calvary. Oh, we have more than enough because of what he done at Calvary. He supplied all of our needs. Yes. 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 We are delighted this morning to come to you in the precious name of Jesus, the name that's above all names. We come to usher in the Spirit of God this morning by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to fellowship with you this morning. We honor Jesus and we honor all that he has done, all that he's doing, and all that he will do. This is truly the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing and we are glad. Father, we ask your blessings, we ask your mercy, we ask your grace to be upon this here service today. The Lord, that you would speak to us and speak through us as we yield to your way and to your will this morning. Let it be none of us but all of you, Lord Jesus. Our ears are open and our hearts are receptive. We only want to hear from you this morning, Jesus. We ask you to forgive us of our sins, forgive us of our thoughts. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, O God. Allow us to see and hear and speak the truth as you have shown us before, O God. Help us to not only speak the truth, but live the truth, O God, that many might hear and believe and say, what must I do to be saved? This morning we want to talk to you briefly. We are probably going to do a part two or three of this message because I have a lot that I want to share today by the Spirit. My Spirit feel this sermon this morning as always. When the Lord Jesus is speaking, it touches you deep down on the inside. And as I'm looking at this from different angles, I am seeing and hearing the Spirit of the Lord. Glory to God. So, Father, we ask you to speak this morning. We are hungry and we are thirsty for righteousness. Speak to us, Lord. Thy servant, listen to hear from you. Only you have the words that we need. Let's go to the book of John, St. John. We are talking about where will your final destination be, heaven or hell? And that's talking about after you, we leave this world, where will, do you have an inclination of where your soul will end up? Because everybody is jumping and saying this and saying that, but they don't have the slightest idea where they will end up. Some people saying, I know I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to be with my Lord. And it's good to say that, you know. But then it's much better when you begin to live to be with him. Here in the book of John, let's start at chapter 10, and let's start at verse 1. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. Now Jesus, beginning to speak to all of those that are listening, his disciples are with him. And you can say the Pharisees and the scribes, the rabbis, and all those folk that are of the law would always be listening to Jesus, because most of the time they're listening to try to catch him doing, saying something that does not line up with their law, the way they perceive it to be. I want you to understand that. They didn't know that he was the lawgiver. He's the one that gave it to Moses, and that he was the son of the living God and that he was God at the same time. So they were always listening to catch him in some type of fault. The Bible says, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter," or you can say the janitor, "opens the door." It's the same thing as the porter. "And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth to his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." See, the janitor, the porter, opens the door so that the shepherd could come into his sheep. Hallelujah. The shepherd does not go over the wall. He doesn't climb up over the fence to go to the sheep. He goes through the main door. He goes through the gate to his sheep. Listen, if you know that you know that you know that you are a sheep of the living God, Jesus is coming for you. He's coming to take you back with him. The world does not believe that. The world is not focusing on that. What the world is focusing on is here and now, everything that's happening now. And he does not want us to focus on the world. He wants us to focus on eternity with him. Now listen, let's go a little further. He says, "And when he put it forth," verse 4, "he put it forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Now this is the thing that we got to get to. Whose voice are we listening to? Who is leading us? What voice are we hearing? What words are we hearing? Are we hearing the words of the living God? Hallelujah. The Bible said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So what are we hearing? What are we being led by? Are we being led by motivational teaching and preaching? Or are we being led by the sound doctrine of the living God? This is just for all of us to think about. He said, "And a stranger," verse 5 says, "and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the strangers." Jesus is talking to them in a parable, and they didn't understand. He said, "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." Now, he makes it very plain for them. He makes it plain now. It's not only for them to understand this, but it's for us to understand. Jesus is making it plain so that we wouldn't have any doubt that he is the one that we need to follow. We are not supposed to follow Buddha, Muhammad, or Confucius, or any other entity. We are not to worship a sun god or moon god or the stars god or the angels or any other entity. We are only to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, and him alone must be praised. Do you hear me this morning? I'm talking about, where will your final destination be, heaven or hell? And how you're going to know that you're going to go there, go to heaven? If you live holy, if you walk righteous, and your lifestyle please the Lord, see, you can say without a shadow of doubt that you're going to enter into heaven. You're going to enter with God, that he's going to come and receive you for himself. If you live contrary to that, you can say the same thing. I'm going to enter into hell. I'm going to hell because I'm living a hellish lifestyle. You can't live like hell and go to heaven. And you can't live like heaven and go to hell. It's impossible. You understand? If you're living like heaven, you're going to go to heaven. If you're living like hell, you're going to go to hell. And this is the message that I'm giving you today. See, we always got to be ready to bring the word. If the preacher not here, you got to bring the word. If the preacher don't respond, you got to bring the word. You can't say, well, the preacher, I'm upset because the preacher not come to the building. You got to get up and preach. That's why we say we got to always be ready. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Deacon. We're talking about where will your final destination be? Heaven or hell? That's the topic today. God gave that to me last night. Where will your final destination be? Heaven or hell? And as you're thinking about it, you've got to take an inventory of our own hard drive, our spiritual hard drive. Look at our spiritual hard drive and see if our lifestyle is sufficient for us to make it in. If we are living the lifestyle that please God, we can surely say, yes, I'm going to make it in. Because I'm living, I'm not perfect, but I'm living a lifestyle that please God, so I'll make it in. He'll receive me to him all. He's not going to tell me, depart from me, you work of iniquity, I know you're not. He's going to receive me. Jesus said here, now God, I'm working out this here, he gave me this. Chapter 10 of John. Then Jesus spoke to them plainly again, plainly. He said, surely, or very, very, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. You see, the sheep not listening to those that don't, didn't bring sound doctrine. They didn't bring the words of eternity. They didn't bring eternal salvation to them. The sheep could not hear them. What they were saying didn't make sense. But now the sheep are being convicted that Jesus has the words of eternal life. So the sheep are hearing him. He make it plain that he is the only way. He said, if you follow me, I'll lead you in. He said, they'll follow him. He said, no. He said, now, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. See, salvation is only in Jesus Christ, not in no other man, not in Peter, not in Paul, not in John, not in Theophilus, hallelujah, not in Doubting Thomas. It's only in Jesus. And when we know that we are adhering to his commands, he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. First thing we got to do is start keeping the commandments. Keeping the word of God. Be obedient. I thought about Saul last night. When the people of Israel wanted a king, God gave them a king, and he chose King Saul. But I was thinking about that so deeply that it kind of shattered my heart. I say, well, if God can remove him from being the king of Israel, maybe he didn't make it in. Maybe he didn't make it in because of disobedience. So we have to be very careful that we may have a position here in the earth realm, but if we're not obedient to the word of God, to the commands of God, we might not make it in. If we are trying to please men and women, please mankind, we may not make it in. Our main objective ought to be to please God. This is what the Lord dropped us in my spirit last night. He dropped us in my spirit. He said, where will your final destination be? Heaven or hell? Something for us to think about, because we have a lot of nice things working for us right now. You know, we have this and we have that, and all these earthly things we are accumulating. But that's not going to get us in. We are dressing up the outside and looking real fine on the outside, wearing nice jobs, nice clothes, driving nice vehicles, living in nice homes, nice communities. That's not going to get us in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have to honor this word of God. We have to honor what Jesus requires. He is God, and he has a requirement from the saints. Just as well as your boss, your wife, your husband, your children have a requirement from you. Even your friends, your associates, God has a requirement from us, and his requirement is for us to be different. We are in this world, but we're not of this world. And I couldn't understand that, you know, obviously. You're in this world. He said, you're not of this world system. This world system. We don't operate according to this world system. That's why he said to come up from among them and touch not the unclean thing. The unclean thing is in the world system and be separated. That's not the unclean thing. He said, I receive you to myself. You'll be my sons and my daughters. I'll be your God. He said, Jesus said, Jesus is speaking here. It's all in red. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. I shall go in and out and find pasture. See, you're going to find everything that you need, the nourishment that you need for your soul. He's going to allow you to find it because he already prepared for you. Hallelujah. He prepared for us that we should not want for anything. Then he said he would supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He says, now, verse 18 of second chapter of Ephesians says, for through him we both have access by one spirit unto the Father. See, we're going in and we're going out and we're going to find pasture. We're going to find pasture, the nourishment. We have access to this nourishment through him, the good shepherd. He says, the thief cometh not but to kill, steal, and to destroy. I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That means more than you can even comprehend. More abundantly. If you can think of it, it's going to be better than what you can think of. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. We know that Jesus laid down his life so that you and I can have access to the tree of life. Who is the tree of life? Jesus is the tree of life. We can have access to everything that he has already prepared for us before the foundation of the world. This is what Jesus is saying to us. He's already prepared it for us. All we have to do is receive him as Lord and Savior and begin to walk according to the instructions. Lord, we find it difficult to be obedient. Because why? This flesh. Paul says, every time I want to do good, I end up doing wrong. When I try to do right, I end up doing wrong. Hallelujah. When I want to do good, I do bad. See, because this thing is my flesh. My flesh is... it's trying to control. It's taking control. So we have to get this flesh under subjection. You say, I want to pray today. But guess what? Some people say, you don't need to pray. Let somebody else pray. You end up not praying. You say, well, I feel like reading a scripture. Well, why I got to read a scripture every day? That's your flesh talking. You got to tell the flesh to shut up. Shut up. Glory to God. Because the flesh doesn't want you. It does not want us to grow. It does not want us to be established in the kingdom. Hallelujah. You see, the word of God that we put in each day that we put in the word of God, we becoming more and more established as God's servants, as God's representatives in the earth. Because now the more word we put in, the more light we get. Do you know that? The more word of God that we put in our heart, the more light we get. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I will not sin against thee. So the more word I put in, the more word that we put in, the more the enemy, Satan and his agents, will not have dominion over us to hinder us from doing that which is pleasing to God. So we have to put in the word even when we don't feel like putting in the word. And I know you, if you like me, some days you don't feel like reading. Some days you just feel like just having a sip of coffee. I don't drink coffee, but have a sip of tea. Have some tea or some herbs or something, just sit back and watch the news on the television. You may just want to sit back and read the newspaper on the tablet or the computer, whatever. You know, you just don't want to read the word. You just don't want to study. You know, if you're like me. But then when you you have this thing inside of you that would excite you. Say, no, I know that's my flesh talking. I don't want to read, don't want to pray, don't want to sing, don't want to worship God. But I'm going to press on in the spirit, and I'm going to open my Bible, and I'm going to begin to sing a couple of songs, and I'm going to listen to a couple of worship, and I'm going to read some scripture. I'm going to study some scripture. And then what happens is you begin to start to glow. You wonder how somebody said, well, girl, you look so different. Your husband, your wife might say, you look all different. Because you maybe was in a different room studying the Word of God where you didn't want to. And all of a sudden, when you come out that room, you have a glow over you that I talk about. The more light you put in, the more word you put in, the more light begin to shine out of you. So people begin to see, your husband begin to see, your wife begin to see. I'm talking about, where will your final destination be? Heaven or hell? That's the topic today. Where will your final destination be? Heaven or hell? Because, you know, there's got to be a final destination after this. This is not it. This is not it. People say, well, I only got one life to live. You'll hear them say that stupid stuff because they don't know. I only got one life. Girl, you only got one life to live. Live your life the way you choose. Don't let people fool you with that dumb stuff. That's the devil. I only got one life to live. No. Get your life in order to please the Lord. We in chapter 10 of John. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, verse 11. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And we said that before. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He lays down his life, no one ticket. Why? Because he is so much in love with what the Father says. He's in love with being obedient to the Father. Because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Hallelujah. The only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And his main objective is being obedient to the Father. He came out of the Father's bosom. But he's obedient to the Father. What the Father says to do, he's going to do. Listen, we got to be obedient to him. Because he gave his life for us so that we could live. He died so we can live. He paid the bill for us so we don't have to wait. A bill, as a matter of fact, we can pay. Here I looked at the word begot in the Bible. And it said it caused, to cause, produce as an effect. It believed that power begat power. Power begat power. Who is power? God is power. Who is Jesus? He's power, because he's God too. So power begat power. Jesus, God gave his only begotten Son. I said, hallelujah, his only begotten Son. You have to go and look at these words, because they sound so difficult. But when you look and see what he's saying, this is so powerful. He gave his only begotten Son that whosoever, that means everybody, that believe will not perish. They have everlasting life. Now, he continue here. Jesus. He said, but he that is an alien, he is just an ordinary worker, a caretaker, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep does not, whose sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth them. Now, you know that most preachers, if somebody coming at that sanctuary and acting simple with a firearm, most of them going to flee. Most of them going. But you see that rabbi, he put his life at the point of death. When the Chinese man come in inside the place and start shooting up them people, shooting up the synagogue. It just happened a few days ago. And then a doctor, he put himself in the way to save lives, and he got killed. Jesus put himself in the way. The Father told him to go down, leave his throne in glory and go into time, because you and I were lost. We were lost in darkness and sin. And he came as the light of the world to lead us out of darkness. Lead us into that place of joy and peace and happiness, eternity. And for us to enter that place, fully, truly into it. Because this is just the beginning where we are. But we have to continue on this path of righteousness, holiness, in order to enter into that holy place. Where he is.
If we don't continue, we end up going into the lake of fire and brimstone. And there's a lot of things that are happening today in this life that we're living, a lot of things that are happening to distract us, delay us, and if possible, destroy us and cause us to end up in the lake of fire and brimstone. And many would go there. Hey, a preacher said last night, he said that more people are going to go in hell than go to heaven because the enemy has and is deceiving so many people. You have even people say that they don't want to go back to church. They don't want to be in church. They don't want to fellowship with the brethren anymore. They tell them. They tell you straight up, I'm not into that. I've been going for 30 years. I've been going for 20 years and nothing happened to me. More is happening for me on the outside than on the inside. See, that's the life from the pit of hell. That's why we got to step this thing up and begin to preach this thing the way it is. Jesus began speaking in parables they couldn't understand. And then he began to break it down plain for them to hear. He broke it down so plain that the Jews wanted to stone him. This is how he broke it down. When you begin to speak of eternity with God, and you begin to speak of salvation, and you begin to put it out there, people don't want to stone you because you're coming against their lifestyle. You're going to have to speak against sin, S-I-N, not against the people. We will have to speak against sin. And when we speak against sin, folk won't come against you. If you are preaching happy message, everybody in the synagogue, everybody in the temple, everybody in the church building, they're going to love you. Everybody going to love you because you're preaching happy messages. But the moment you start preaching against sin, you're going to be coming in, looking in their window, looking in from outside and seeing what they're doing. Do you hear what I'm saying? Jesus says that the hurling doesn't care about the sheep. When the wolves come, he just pick up his stuff and get in his car and go. Get on his horse and ride away. Get on the camel and run away. He just leave. Not concerned. When your vice begins to hold you, grab you again and take you back to the place that you once used to be. Instead of the preacher come over and search for you, because you're one of the sheep of the fold that he is called to watch. So man, I know he wasn't gonna be nothing. I know she wasn't gonna be nothing. I know she was gonna go back into prostitution. I know she was gonna go back into getting stolen and selling her body. I know he was gonna do this. That's what most of them do. They don't look and ask and investigate. Can Brother John? Can you go check on Simon? Go down there and check on Simon. Go down there and check on Judas. Go down there and check on this body. Go check on Mary. What's Mary doing? I haven't seen her for 2 weeks. Look, when I was in the church over a church building over here, and some things was going on with me in my life years ago. And I ain't going to church for a couple of weeks, 3 or 4 weeks. The bishop, they never called me. I called my wife and see if I was okay. Didn't even check on me. And I asked myself, I told my honey, I said, I'm not going back there. I said, I wouldn't, things wasn't going right for me. Finances was all shaken and everything was going on, upside down. When it seemed like all hell is breaking loose over me. And the preacher never called to see, check on me. It was good when I was going there and doing, taking care of everything that they need taken care of. Everything was good. This is how you know. Hallelujah. Where are you going? You can't even take care of the sheep here right now. Don't want to take care of the sheep right now. But you want to go up there. You want to be with Jesus. You think you're going to be with him. He says, the sheep are scattered. The hurling flees before. He is out here hurling. He flees because the sheep don't belong to him. Don't belong to her. They belong to Jesus. We are testifying and we are magnifying our ministry that we are all this in the bag of chips in the Pepsi-Cola. These are my sheep. This is my. No, it ought to be saying that I'm just a watchman. Like Ezekiel said, I'm just a watchman. And I'm going to watch the way God said to watch. Why? Because I don't want the sheep blood to be on my hand. I'm going to tell them what God said to tell them. Glory to God. Listen to what it says. The herald doesn't care. He cares not for the sheep. He said, but Jesus said, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. And I'm known of mine. The sheep know the shepherd. They know the true shepherd. That's why they say they flee from a stranger. They will not follow the shepherd. Stranger. We got to get to this place. He said, and I am a good shepherd and know my sheep and I'm known of mine. As the Father knows me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. So Jesus laid down his life. Are we willing to go to the extreme to reach a lost brother, lost sister? Are we willing to do that? Or we only want to minister to the ones that they're there all the time. Every time the door opens, I can depend on them, they're there. Jesus left his home in glory and coming to time for us who were walking in darkness. We were walking after righteousness. He came for us. He said, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. That's what Jesus came for. Verse 16. And the other sheep, he said, and other sheep I have, which are not of the fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one sheep, one shepherd. Listen to what he's saying. In the book of John, chapter 17, he uttered this word here. Because we know that the disciples there in John 17 begin to honor this word that Jesus has already spoken. They're declaring God's word, the word of Jesus. They're declaring it. Hallelujah. Jesus says to the Father, he's praying. He says, Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, that's verse 17, 18, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sake, I sanctify myself. He's set apart. That they also might be sanctified through thy truth. See, this word of God set you apart. Glory to God. Remember I said we are in this world, but not of this world. And of the world means the world system, what the world is standing for, what the world is doing, we're not part of it. We are kingdom-minded people. We have a kingdom mindset. We're living a lifestyle that pleases the king. So we're kingdom-minded. And he says, neither pray I, listen to what he's saying, neither pray I for these alone, but for those also which shall believe on me through their word. That's what Jesus confirmation from here in John chapter 10. See what he says. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. They're not ready. They're not in there yet. They're not in the body of Christ yet. Hallelujah. But they're going to come because of the word, through the word that we're preaching and teaching. Because now we're not preaching condemnation. We're preaching love. We want them to know that there's a way out of darkness. And the way out of darkness is Jesus, because he's the light in this world. He's the light of the world. We are carrying the light of the world. It's inside of us. I think the preacher talked about the light yesterday. That light is inside of us to lead people out of darkness. But how we lead them, not with judgment, we lead them out of darkness with the love of Christ. He said, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. So we have to release this love and kindness out of us, even though we know their lifestyle. We cannot look at their lifestyle, because if we look at their lifestyle, our flesh is not going to allow us to minister love and kindness to them. See, the flesh is going to become judgmental. The spirit is love, but the flesh is judgmental. So we have to get away from that. So listen what he says. He says, look, this was so powerful as I was studying this last night and this morning. He says, therefore does my Father love me because I laid down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. See, Jesus already knew that he had the power to lay down his life. And he had the power to take it up. But guess what? He laid it down. His Father raised it up. He stayed on the cross so that you and I could come to that place of repentance. The Spirit, the blood, and the water. It draws us to the place of repentance. We're going to talk about that when we get to John, 1 John and 5, with the Spirit and the water and the blood. But there was division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. See, when you begin to preach this truth, when we begin to preach the truth, it's going to cause some division. Some folk that's been going to church for a while, but haven't been hearing the truth, true doctrine, they will come against you because you're preaching this word that requires people to make change. It requires you and I, starting with you and I, at the top, because the change must begin at the top. At the top, remember how we said before, change people. The change must begin at the top. That's why I say the pastors got to start. Leaders, pastors, bishops, evangelists, teachers, prophets and prophetess, deacons and deaconess and ushers, they got to start falling down at the altar. We all got to start falling down at the altar. We have not arrived yet. Paul said, I come not myself to be after him, but this one thing I do, forgetting my past, and pressing towards the mark of the price of the high calling of Christ Jesus. Paul said, I have not arrived. But one thing I do, my eyes are on Christ Jesus. So I have to do whatever I need to do that Christ requires me to do, to reach him, to be able to touch him. Touch the hem of his garment, like the woman with the issue of blood. I have to do whatever I need to do. And Christ is calling for this. This is what he's saying. The people come against him because of what he's saying. He's the Son of the living God. And they're saying he's making himself equal with God. You see, when you start saying that you're telling people, well, God told me this, or I heard this from the Lord, and the Lord spoke to my spirit, people come and say, because you got people saying that God don't talk to nobody. You got preachers, I mean, well-known preachers are saying today, you hear them for yourself. They're on TV, they're on internet, they're on Instagram, they're LinkedIn, they're talking in a Periscope, they're saying that God don't talk to people now. They say that was for 2,000 years ago. Did he just send my sheep, hear my voice? And a stranger that will not follow. He's the shepherd. He came and gave his life for the sheep, the lost sheep. Jesus wasn't lost. He came and gave his life for the lost sheep. And now the lost sheep are being found and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, his blood. They're being purified. They're being purified by the blood. The blood is cleansing us. So we begin now. No, our ear gates, our spiritual ear gates are being open. Our spiritual eye gates are being open. We can see and we can hear. That's why we don't go back and do the things that we once was doing, because now we are being led out of that place of darkness. And the light of God is leading us into that place of purity, holiness, righteousness. Oh, my God. Do you hear me? He said, and many of them said, he has a devil. And he's mad. They say that he's crazy. Why are you here? They tell the people, why are you listening to him? That's an apostle over there in Virginia, in Washington, D.C., in Boston, Massachusetts. Why are you listening to him? He's loud mouth. He's loud. He speaks too fast. He's a foreigner. All this stuff they're saying. He was a dope addict. They're saying all them things about us. They're talking about our past because they don't believe that God has cleansed us and that God is cleansing us, keeping us clean. He's healing that speck on us. He's washing off. The blood never lost its first estate. It's always washing, always cleansing. This he's got a devil. See, he's crazy. Others said, these are not the words of him that have a devil. But there's always going to be some people in the crowd that can hear. There's going to be some in the crowd that have spiritual ears. That have spiritual eyes. They can hear and they can see. And they will speak with cleansed tongues, tongues that have fire on them. He said, no, there can't be one that has a devil. Can a devil open eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked into the temple of Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. They're asking him, why are you suspending the knowledge that we need, the wisdom that we need? Why are you keeping this from us? God is speaking plain. He's not suspending nothing. They just don't have spiritual eyes. They just don't have spiritual ears. There's a lot of people that are saying a lot of different things pertaining to the gospel, pertaining to the doctrine, but they're not saying the truth. It sounds like truth, but it's not the truth. You know how we know? Because it doesn't line up with the doctrine of the book. And the people don't have ears to hear. They're falling, the people like the blind falling the blind. They're falling in the same ditch. Jesus answered them and said, I told you and you believe not. The words that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. See, if we speaking the word of God, see, not the word that he said, the word that I do. See, he's not talking before. Not only told you, but I'm doing what I said. Glory to God. I'm not only telling you that I'm holy, but I'm walking holy. I didn't only tell you that I'm righteous, but I'm walking righteous. I didn't tell you I'm going to open the blind eyes. I open blind eyes. I didn't tell you I'm going to cause the cripple to walk, but I cause the cripple to walk. I didn't only tell you that I'm going to cause the deaf to hear, but I cause them to hear. I didn't only tell you I'm going to cause the dumb to speak, but you see that. The dumb is speaking. I raise the dead. Hallelujah. I cast out the evil spirits. I did everything that I said I would do, Jesus told them. So they bear witness of who I am. Glory to God. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep. See, the sheep understand the voice. The sheep understand the doctrine. Hallelujah. It may be complicated to someone that isn't a sheep of the Most High God. When you begin to speak like this, they don't understand you. When you start talking about prosperity, if you just believe and if you just claim it, you'll get it. They don't understand that. They understand motivational teachers and preachers, but the truth they don't understand. They don't understand this doctrine. He said, my sheep, the sheep understand. The sheep hear his voice. He knows his sheep and the sheep knows him. Who are you? He said, but you believe not, because you are not of my sheep. And I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's why we got a hunger every day. We come to Blog Talk Radio. We go somewhere where we can hear the word speech to preach. Because we have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. We want more. We recognize Jesus' voice in the word. We recognize his voice. Remember, he says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Hallelujah, glory to God. We know this is him. He's speaking to our spirit man. And when we hear it, it convicts us. It convicts us to not want to continue slipping back and forth. Like, I think it was Clarence Carter sing that song, Slipping into Darkness. Or one of the places. Slipping into darkness. Pretty soon you're going to play. It was war. And that's what we do. We're in the light. Out the light. In the light, out the light. In darkness, in light. In that, no, he don't want you to do that. We're not doing that anymore. Why? Because we know the shepherd. We know the one that has the true light. We know the one that is the true light. So we stay connected. He said, oh, my Lord. He said, and I give unto them eternal life. See, we know where our final destination is. We know. Because we follow the shepherd. We follow the one that has the key to eternal life. We're not concerned about this world. This world is going to pass away. Some people say, not so. But Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away. But my word stands forever. Listen to what he's saying. He says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Do you hear that? Once you know that you know that you know that you have eternal life, you can say, thank you, Jesus. You, right where you are, you can say, thank you, Jesus, because you know that you have eternal life. And how do you know? Because you're living an eternal life. Hallelujah. You're living that with that mindset of eternal life because you're living according to his commands. You're obedient to his commands. The way he's leading you, you're falling. Not according to man. Listen to what he's saying. You got to see what it says. He says, my Father, which gives them, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Listen to what Jesus says. Now Jesus is preaching this thing so hard. I mean, he's preaching it so hard. As I would listen to this in my spirit this morning, I would lean on the bed and listen to it in my spirit. And my eyes just got well up with water. He's preaching hard. When you preaching hard, folk will want to kill you. They're going to say you stuff to mess you up, working powders against you and candles and incense and all kind of stuff against you because you have the anointing. But they can't do nothing against you, to you, because you are covered in the blood. And he's covering you. The light of God is shining over your house. It's shining over your car. It's shining over your footsteps. My God, Pastor talks about a lamp and a light onto your path. I mean, he's lighting up everywhere you are. You want to understand this? Then he says, then the Jews took stones again. Remember, this is the second time. They took stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? God, that is so heavy right there. That is so heavy. The time of break, he says, I did a lot of stuff from my Father. As my Father was leading me, I've done a lot of great stuff. Which one of them are you going to stone me for? Now, they're going into a great thinking. Their mindset is going everywhere because they saw all the miracles that Jesus had done. Hallelujah. Causing the fish and the bread and the loaves to expand so he can feed them all. And you see him healing the blind man and causing the cripples to walk and the dumb to talk and the deaf to hear and all this stuff and raising the dead. They've seen all this stuff, all these works that he's done. And which one are you going to stone me for, man? I want to know. Jesus answered them. He said, the Jews answered, saying, for a good work, we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou hast been a man, maketh thyself God. See that? He gave them the truth. Because he's saying here his Father's wrong. They want to stone him for that. You tell people that you're saved and sanctified and washed in the blood. And you tell them that you have a sinful nature, but you're not sinning anymore. They want to stone you. Yes, the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but you're not living a lifestyle of sin anymore. You still have the sin nature. You still have this flesh. The flesh is sin nature. The flesh still wants to sin. But you're not living sin. That's why we cast on the thoughts. You get sinful thoughts. You don't activate them. So when you say, well, I'm not sin anymore, people will come against you. Because they say, no, you're a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by grace through faith. But I'm not sinning anymore. That's just my characteristics of this flesh. But my spirit man is pure. My spirit man, our spirit man is pure. It's been washed. It's been cleansed. from the cross of Calvary. He cleansed my spirit. The Bible said he forgave my sins and cleansed me from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. The spirit man is cleansed. But the devil wants to fool you and make you think, well, you're still a sinner walking around and sin. No, your flesh is still selfish. It wants you to sin. But you have control now in the spirit, man, not to sin. Hallelujah. I hope you're getting this thing, man. I'm telling you something. Because folk will tell you that stuff and make you think, well, you're never going to go to heaven because you're a sinner. Now, we know no sin can enter in with God. Ain't no sinner can enter back with him. And you say, well, if I'm still a sinner, why am I still trying to follow this stuff then? Follow this doctrine? No. You have been saved by grace through faith. And you have been washed in the blood. Jesus said, I've forgiven all your sin, not some. I cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Far as the east from the west, I cast your sin into the sea of forgetfulness. But the flesh man, it still wants to act up. I want to tell you this. That's why Paul said, I got to cast down all thoughts and imagination. Everything that exalted itself against the knowledge of Christ. Why? Because Satan is still trying to put something in your mind so you don't make the destination. You'll be on the path, but you'll get detoured. He wants to detour us from the path of eternal life or eternal destiny. That's what I'm saying. Where will your final destination be, heaven or hell? Are we going to allow Satan to deter us, delay us, or destroy us? What are we going to do? Are we going to stay on this path of righteousness, crying out to God to continue to keep us on the path? Because he'll keep you on the path. He said, I'm the light of the world. If you follow me, you'll never walk in darkness. So we got to follow the light, the true light, not the fake light, the true light. You got to be careful because Satan is known as the light bearer. So we don't want to follow the fake light. Understand? That fake light will lead you into hell. We want to follow the light of God. They took up stones to stone the Father, to stone the Son. And then they say that Jesus says they want to stone him because he blasphemed, because he said he was the same as God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, you are gods. Psalm 82:6. And this God here is not a supreme being. You are. It's a small g, lowercase g, lowercase o, lowercase d, lowercase lowercase s. You are sons and daughters of the Most High God, but you are not the God. If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came and the scriptures cannot be broken, Romans 3:1-2, say of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God? Jesus asked them a serious question right here. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. If I do not the works, if I'm not living this life, this sanctified life, don't believe me. If I am not living this sanctified life, don't believe me. Hear what I'm saying. Jesus is speaking clearly. A fool can understand what he's saying. He said, but if I do, don't you believe me? Believe not me? Believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. See, when we begin to walk, excuse me, when we are walking continually in this anointing, it doesn't matter what people want to say. See, your anointing begins to expose all the darkness that's around you. because you're walking in it. You're living in it. You're not disturbed because of what people are saying or doing. Hallelujah. Therefore, they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. And when I went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracles, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believe on him. See, we got to be our witnesses for Christ. Just as Christ, just as John was a witness for him, he was the forerunner. We got to continue this path. We got to be witnesses of the truth. Not only telling the truth, but we got to live the truth. I said so many people can preach it, and they can preach it with great tenacity. But when it comes to living it, it's a difficult thing. I always say that this walk is a hard walk, but it's attainable with the help of the Holy Spirit. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit, because he knows this old flesh that we have is going to want to derail us. It's going to want to, the devil going to use this old flesh to derail us from eternal life. Do you hear me? He can't touch our spirit man, because the spirit man has been purchased. It has been bought from Calvary. He can't touch his spirit man. But he does everything to derail us and deceive us in the flesh. That's why when we see certain things happening and we hear certain things, we have to shut it down. Shut it down quick. You have to devil, shut up, devil, I'm not listening. Shut up, devil, go somewhere else. Go somewhere, because what you're trying to use is not going to work. You've got to open your mouth. The power's in your mouth. That's the sword. That's a two-edged sword. Use it. Devil, shut up. I'm not listening, devil. Go somewhere else. What you're trying to use today is not going to work. It's not going to work. I have my armor on. Go somewhere else. Tell him something. You got to talk to him. I got so much to go. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Glory to God. We're talking today. Where will your final destination be? Asking the question, heaven or hell? Heaven or hell? And if you haven't taught about it, you say, I've been studying my Bible every day, but I never really taught. I never really focused on heaven or hell. You know, I feel I'm doing all right. Take a look at yourself. Take a deeper look. Matthew chapter 7. Jesus speaking, verse 13. Matthew 6, 13.
Amen.
He says, and Jesus began to talk about this, the pathway. Thank you, Brother Deacon. He's talking about the pathway. Heaven or hell. He says, enter you in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, verse 13. Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in the tree. Listen what he's saying. You see, the gate is so wide. Look at the world system. Look and see what's going on. Look at the governments all over the world. They are the keepers of the gates of hell. Look for yourself. If you want to know how I know, look and see that the laws that they're coming up with, they don't want you to say this, they don't want you to say that. Because if you're speaking the truth, they don't want the truth. Hallelujah. Now they got some, I don't know if you all saw it yet, but I saw it last night. One lady, she is some part of the government, some new person in the government. And they have some debate on one of the channels last night. And they have a man with a big belly, like he's pregnant. And the woman is some kind of saying that something she's in the government. You're going to hear more about it. But they're proclaiming this law. This is what they're saying. People of God, we are so close to Jesus returning. So close. Oh, my Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost. They're saying that a man can get pregnant. He don't have a womb. They said a man can have pregnant and he can have an abortion. I said, oh, my God, the devil is something else. You know what I said to him? I said, everything that God has done from the beginning till now, these tactics and these politicians are trying to change what God has done. They're trying to make good look bad and bad look good. Hallelujah. That's why they don't want you to talk about holiness or righteousness. And they say this, God, this Caucasian man with a big belly, that he is supposed to give birth soon. That's what they're saying. But the thing that they're saying, that men can have, the answer, can men have, get pregnant? She said, yes, men can get pregnant and they can have abortion. I said, Lord, the devil is some kind of busy. The gate, these people are holding the gate. They're holding the gate to hell wide open. And they're leading the world into it. That's why he says that we're in this world, but we're not of this world. This world system and what the world system is standing for, we don't stand for it. So we know where our destiny is. Our final destination is heaven. We're not working to go there. We're living to go there. Jesus did all the work already. He did all the work at Calvary when he was pierced. And pierced his lungs and let the air out his lungs to his side. When he was nailed in his feet and kept him up on, put him on that cross in his hands and his brow was torn from the spikes of thorns coming down his brows and all his back was torn open, his chest ripped open with the cat-lined whip that had the bones on the end and tore his skin. Every time they hit him, they tore his skin. He said, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. See, this place to eternity is very narrow. Very narrow. It requires a lot to make it on that path. But you can make it. Don't let nobody fool you that you can't make it. Jesus already paid a price for you and I, for us to make it in. All we need to do is follow Jesus. He's not even allowing you to go on the path by yourself. Oh, my God, I thank you, Holy Ghost. He said, beware of the false prophets which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. They want to eat you. They're hungry. So beware. Listen to me. I want you to hear this. You can go back and read this all 7 because it's a powerful book. It's a powerful book. Let's jump over to verse 21. We're talking about where will your final destination be? Where will it be? Ask yourself. I'm not here to judge. I'm not here to condemn nobody. Because God gave this to me last night. After the prophet didn't send me a message, I said, well, let me look up something. Let me look up something. Got to get something. And Jesus says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, that's verse 21 of Matthew chapter 7, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. See, the key is, if we want to make it to our final destination, the topic, where will your final destination be, heaven or hell? That's the topic for this morning. If we want to make it in as ambassadors of Christ, this is what we got to do. We have to do the will of the Father. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me, listen, followeth me, continue. Followeth, not follow. Followeth. He that followeth me will not walk in darkness. So Jesus is going to lead us the path of righteousness. He's going to lead us on that path of holiness. He's going to lead us on that path of obedience. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That path of forgiveness, long-suffering, patience, oh my God. Peace, joy, forgiveness. He's going to lead us on that path so that we can make it in. But we got to stay in the light. We got to stay in the light. We can't go back and forth. One day we here, one day we there. One day we up, one day we down. We can't do that. Got to stay in. Got to stay in. He says, Mary will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wondrous works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you work of iniquity. Jesus said this. So why is Jesus saying this to folk that's supposed to be ambassadors? They're supposed to be leaders in the kingdom, this earthly realm. Why? Because they did not stay in the light. Partial light is darkness. Do you know that? Partial lighting is darkness. So we can't be partially in the light. Either we are in the light or we are in darkness. If we want to be sure that we're going to make it in, we got to stay in the light. We got to allow Jesus to lead us and guide us. When we come up short, just fall on your knees quick. Don't let the devil keep his foot on your back or on your knee. Neck. Get up quick and brush off and shake yourself and say, Lord, I'm so sorry, Lord. Forgive me. Lord, cleanse me with hyssop and wash me whiter than snow. Hallelujah, Jesus. You got to say, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit, Lord. I've sinned against thee, and you have the right to judge. Judge me however you choose, the Lord. But, Lord, don't allow me to go to hell. You got to cry out. Jesus spoke. He says, Matthew 6:33. You got to come back to you. You got to come back to you. Because we want to, the scripture today was for today was 1 John 5:1-21, but we are going to hit that today. We're going to go 6:33. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. All these things shall be added unto you. You want heaven? You want heaven to be your destination? Seek first the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Go to Romans chapter 14. The kingdom of God. We like it. Verse 17. Verse 16. Let not then your good words be evil spoken of. When you are preaching and teaching, and you know that you are called to be a teacher, preacher, whatever your gift is now, don't just preach it, live it. What we find ourselves is that we can preach well. We know how to exegete and how we know how to do all this stuff, apart from the scripture. We know how to go in the old and new, and we know how to go in the middle and the back of it, all over the Bible. But do we know how to live it? Don't let your good be evil spoken out. We preach well, and then we act like fools. People say, well, I heard her preaching over there, John's church, man. And, oh, man, she was full of fire over there, but I can't believe that's the same one over there on the street corner doing this. I don't believe that's the same man down there at the whole house. I don't believe that's the same person. You know, don't let your good be evil spoken out. He said, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. This is the fruit of the Spirit. That's how you know what the kingdom is. You have this inside of you, righteousness. People will see it. You live in it. You are peaceful. I have apostles say yesterday, some people say they're saved and sanctified, but when you see their face, my God, you can't believe they're saved. They look like they eat a sour lemon. There's no peace, no joy in them. But they're representing the Most High God. First, Second Peter. Go to Second Peter. I'll give you a couple more here. Second Peter before we close. I feel the Holy Ghost. Oh, God. Oh, Second Peter. Lord Jesus, I'll tell you something. Man, when he dropped that in my, I had four different topics for this service this morning. And God, he said, no, not that one. I write these topics down and said, not that one. Not that one. And then he dropped this in my spirit. And I said, okay. And I had to examine myself. I was examining myself and listening to the spirit speak to me. You know, you have to, Second Peter. You got to, when God is speaking, don't point your finger at nobody. Brother Deacon Fraser said, when you point one finger, you got four finger pointing back at you. Point all five fingers at yourself. When God give you a sermon, don't point it at nobody. But, oh, my God, when they hear the sermon this morning, it gonna really grab some people. No. Point all five fingers at you. I'm ministering to myself. I'm telling you, I'm truly ministering to myself. Because you know why? I want to enter in. I want to enter in with the good shepherd. I don't want the good shepherd to lead me by the sheepfold. I don't want him to leave me outside. I want to enter in with him. I ain't trying to get in no other way but by him. He says, here are 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. You all know this. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us words, not willing that any should perish, but that all, here he says, all shall come to repentance. All. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned. They shall be burned up. Go to Matthew chapter 24. I'm telling you something that we ought to take an inventory of our own lives. Sit upon everybody, this body and that body, and the people that sit out there. And God said, I call you to the light. I draw you out of the darkness. I draw you into my marvelous light. So you will experience the righteousness of who I am. And then you can go and tell people about who I am and who they can become. That's what God says. He says, Matthew chapter 24 and 43. But notice that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Listen to me. Jesus wants us now to prepare our house, our spiritual house, for his coming. Not your house on the hill. Not your house down the street, down the valley. But your spiritual house, our spiritual house must be prepared. We can't wait till he pierces the sky, till the heavens roll back, and the elements begin to burn. We got to do it now. We got to start now. Start examining our own lives and say, Lord, help me in this area. Help me in this area. Matthew chapter 16 and 26. Let's go there quick. 16 and 26. This is the last scripture. I'm going to stop here and ask Peter led to stop here. I got a lot of scripture to give you, but I'm going to stop right here after this scripture. We'll come back and do a part two of this. The Lord say the same next week. 16 and 26. This is what Jesus says. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man, 27, the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily, I say unto you, there be some standing here they shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom.
I want you to understand that Jesus is real. And Jesus is coming back just like he said he will. Believe what I'm telling you. This Bible is a pure manuscript. People are arguing on YouTube how much books they take out. We know it took out 14 books. And they argue, well, if they didn't take out all these books, man, you have more than enough books to do what thus says the Lord. You have more than enough books to walk according to God wants us to walk so that we can make it in. If we're not using this, if we can't use these 66 books to make it in, what you going to do with 80 books? The other 14 going to help you to get it in? You got more than enough sound doctrine here to cause you to yield, cause us to yield to righteousness and holiness. And God makes it so, he makes it so good for us that he said, look, I sons and daughters, I know you can't make it on your own. He said, because when I know you're doing well, no, I'm here with you. But when I leave, tears and words are going to come. He said, that's why I'm giving to you. I'm giving to you the Holy Spirit. Listen what he says in John chapter 16. He says, he's talking to the disciples, says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of judge. He will reprove the world, bring correction. The world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment and of sin because they believe not on me. And of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of the world of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. See, Jesus had many things to say to the disciples. They couldn't bear it then. But they're going to get it, because why? The Holy Spirit going to bring everything to us. He's here to help us. We cannot do this. He said, howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Listen, the Holy Spirit is here to help us. We are not walking around deaf and dumb and blind, crippled. We got help. What we need to do is open our spiritual, to ask the Lord to open our spiritual ears and remove the skins from our spiritual eyes so we can see and hear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you have given us today. And Lord, we pray that we have said something by the Spirit, to the Spirit of men today and women today. That God, that we are not slip back and forth, but we are stay on that straight and narrow path. And Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that you have given to us, because we recognize, we know this in our hearts, that we cannot do it on our own. Lord, we are not professing to be all that in a bag of chips and a Pepsi Cola, but we know that you are more than enough, and you have all that we need to get us to where we need to be. So we thank you again today for blessing us with sound doctrine and giving us clear understanding and wisdom to follow the path of righteousness and holiness that will lead us into eternity with you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Come on in, Bishop, and let the Lord use you. Come on in. I'm going to go on mute for a minute. Come on in.
Praise the Lord. To God be all the honor, glory, and praise. Hallelujah. Glory to his holy name. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for allowing us to hear this message today. And we thank you for the man of God for delivering the message, Father God. Oh, Heavenly Father, praise be to you, oh, glorious Master. All honor and glory is yours. Now, beloved, for all who have never received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, please take this opportunity to do so. I cannot make it more plain and simple. It's so very, very easy. For those who have backslidden, Holy Spirit, for those who have backslidden, you know, pardon me, please. One of these enemies' disruptions. Apologize for that disruption. You know, the enemy tries all kinds of tricks, but to God be all the honor, glory, and praise. Now, for those who have backslidden, I'm urging you, brothers and sisters, who are now prodigal sons and daughters, rededicate your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, but none of us know when we will be required, our soul will be required by the Lord God Almighty. Don't get caught short. I urge you, please, don't get caught short. Now, if you heard this message and you believe, as it says in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 8 and 9, the word of God says, in verse 8, the word is near you. What does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth, which means you got to scream. You don't have to shout and holler. Although in different parts of Scripture it says, shout to the Lord, the voice of triumph. You can do that. But the thing here is you must speak it out loud, and the purpose is to put it in the atmosphere. You can think all day long that you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but the enemy needs to be informed that you are getting away from his way of your living. You're no longer in his camp. You are now in the camp of the Lord God Almighty when you said, I believe in my heart that God sent his only begotten Son to become sin, to be made sin, come down to this earth to save us. He is the only way, Jesus, the Lord God Almighty. It says, nor is there any other name mentioned under heaven. There's no other name mentioned on earth, under heaven, other than the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. No other name is mentioned. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you must repent if you've made this confession. You must repent. And if you have repented, repentance means not returning to the previous way you were living. Whatever you were doing, lying, stealing, shacking up, whatever you've done, you're asking God to forgive you and you're receiving Jesus as your Savior. If you make that confession and you mean it, you're now saved. Your next step is to be baptized. And if you go to the book of Acts, beginning at chapter 2, beginning at verse 38, Word of God says, and Peter said, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall be saved. Hallelujah. Separate yourself from this perverse generation. Hallelujah. Don't live like they want to live. Who ever heard of a man delivering a baby, getting pregnant and delivering a baby? Another trick of the enemy to get people to be so gullible. He'll try anything, but he's not God. Believe him. Don't fall for these lies and deceptions, and pray against this horrible thing they're talking about now. God made one man and one woman in the beginning, and Eve was told, for what you have done, you know, you will suffer in childbirth. He didn't tell Adam that. Adam suffered by the sweat of his brow. He didn't tell either one of those people. Now, Adam, you're going to deliver babies. Eve, you're going to suffer from the sweat of your brow. He didn't say that. Read it in Genesis. Go ahead. Read it for yourself. I didn't write these words. God inspired these words to the scribes. Nowhere did it say that a man would get pregnant and deliver a baby. Nowhere. Not in any scriptures I've ever read, because That's a trick of the enemy. Don't fall for it. And just as the apostle says, we're getting so close to the return of Jesus. These signs you must pay attention to. Read your word daily. But right now, accept Jesus as your Savior. I urge you, because no one knows when their soul is going to be required by the Lord. So if you've done this, congratulations to you who have never received Jesus before. Your slate is clean. All your sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. And you're now saved. And for the brothers and sisters who had been prodigal sons and daughters, you can return home. God bless each and every one of you. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And remember, on reading the word, study it. Show yourself approved. Hallelujah. Follow the Ten Commandments and live by the rules of God. God bless each and every one of you. It will be beneficial to you for eternal salvation and also to you and your family. Hallelujah. Teach them well. In Jesus' name I pray. Apostle, it's back to you, sir.
Thank you so much, Bishop. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus for you.
Hallelujah.
For your lovely wife, my sister in Christ, and we praise
Hallelujah.
God for your family and for what he is doing and what he will do.
Yes.
As I always like to say, the best is yet to come. You know, a lot of
Hallelujah.
Times we think we have seen it. Our best is not yet. It's not yet here yet. But it's on route.
Yet.
It's on route. It's on route. So
he's on his
we
way.
Thank God for
oh,
you and for your faithfulness of coming in and sharing the prayer of salvation with us today.
Hallelujah.
And
Hallelujah.
I pray God bless you and work with all for your good and for his glory. Because, you know, that's all God is doing. It's for our good and for his glory.
For his glory. Not ours.
I thank God for you and for your help. I really appreciate your help whenever you got a chance to come on in. And put your
praise the Lord.
Put your
Thank
prayer,
God.
And I do appreciate it. You know, a lot of people like it too. I've been going back and looking on the web, and I noticed that a lot more people are tagging us now, and they're not showing up on Blog Talk in the day, because a lot of people are still working. Some people are working.
Amen.
But they are tagging. They're going in and listening to the. And listening while we are going off, they're going in and listening. You know,
yes, Lord.
We got to stay faithful and focused. You know, because the enemy and his team are faithful and focused. Satan don't miss a day. He don't miss a day. He is faithful and he is focused. Believe what I'm telling you. I wouldn't lie to you. He is faithful and he is focused. Because
Hallelujah.
His main objective is to accomplish God's seed that's in this earth, you know, and how he's trying to do that is with deception. That's the only way he can do it is with deception. I
Amen.
Tell you, when I was listening to that stuff last night, you know, they did a whole program on that. I said, Lord Jesus, what else are they going to do? You know, what else are they going to do? But the Lord said, all this stuff is going to come, man. These people are going to come with a full-blown deception, you know. And now they're making it that these people that are living a promiscuous lifestyle can really believe that, oh, I can get my boyfriend pregnant, and we can have a baby, you know. I said, Lord Jesus, help us.
Yes.
Where in the Bible you see a man having a baby? You said it plainly. Where do you see Adam having the baby? It was Eve who had the baby.
It didn't say in the book of Genesis that I read. Yes.
No.
Yeah.
They're saying it.
Uh-huh.
They're saying it. And not only that, they got a man with a big belly. They got a man on the screen with a big belly.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Lord, I said, Lord, help us. But because you know everything that the Lord does, Satan tried to do something very similar. He tried to do something bad because he's a counterfeit. He's a counterfeit. You know, everything he does, that our Lord does, he tried to do it around because he don't like marriage. That's why he come against the marriage so much. he comes against it, because that's the will of God, for a man and a woman to be become one. He don't like that. So he bring a division. He start that stuff. No, men and men can marry. Women and women can marry. And then he start to change the stuff, to change the gender. There's no female, male and female. Now there's transgender and all this stuff he got going on. That's all from Satan. All from Satan. And who's he using? He using politicians to do his will. They are the gatekeepers for hell. Do you know that? They are the gatekeepers for hell. That's why I tell people all the time, I'm not a Democratic and I'm not a Republican. I'm a born-again believer in Christ Jesus. That's who I am. And I stand in for truth. I'm not going to compromise the truth. I'm not going to fall for a lie. Believe me. Anyway, the line is open. Line is open. Anybody wants to come and add to it, put a penny in or put two pennies in, a dollar, come on and put it in. The line is open.
Apostle says she's going to call on her line. I have another phone call that just came in.
Okay.
I have to take. She's going to call you on her line so she can make her comment. I'm going to still be on the line, but I have to, you know, make this phone. It's from the doctor's office.
Okay, Bishop. No problem.
All right. Okay. Anybody else have a comment they want to make? Go right ahead. Mother Grant might have a reading or something.
Praise the Lord and good afternoon.